Amen. All right. We thank God for you, and we just appreciate you coming out on this Labor Day weekend. And I know a lot of people on vacation and so on, but we're glad you're here and the Lord's here, so we just worshiping, going to worship God in spirit and truth as we have been, and thank God for that. And we want to look into the Word of God this morning. I had a little thought come to me that I've never preached on before, but I've heard the saying so many times, and what it is, I know you have too. The saying is, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And I'll work out my own salvation, and many says, the Bible says, for me to work out my own salvation in fear and trembling. And some people use it as a lame excuse to not to believe God's Word and what God's doing for this time period that we're living in. And that don't want to come and obey the Word and do what the Word says, and follow any instruction that's laid down in the Word. And it said, well, you know, like the Bible says, work out your own salvation, fear and trembling. Well, that is one scripture that, in isolating it from the rest of what Paul wrote, then it could really get you in trouble. That one could. Amen. Because the Word without the Spirit is a tree of knowledge. And with a spirit on it is the tree of life. But Paul had a message from God, and we're going to deal with that this morning. We're going to say Paul's guideline for working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Paul's guidelines. Amen. And Paul's guidelines is God's guideline. Amen. So, I don't know if you've ever heard this preached on before, and I don't think that I have ever ministered on it before, although I've heard it said many, many times by many, many different people, but generally it's said when someone don't want to believe what God's doing and want to find another way to go. Well, at this time, God is marrying and has married His bride, and she has become His wife. And a lot of times we'll hear that said, but the wife never says it. Because to work out her salvation, she accepts the full Word of God, and that's the working out of your salvation. Amen, if you're the bride. Now, it's put in there just like the Word is the tree of knowledge without the revelation. It's put in there, and a lot of people will use it from this standpoint, that they want an excuse to do something they're doing or not to do something they're not doing. And that don't really concern the wife too much, but it's people that would talk to the wife. Amen. And want to deny the testimony. So, well, you know, like the Bible says, I work out my own salvation in fear and trembling. Well, we're going to have some guidelines on how you can say that and how it fits. God never contradicts His Word. And if God put a word here and send the word, that's the word for the wife. And there's no excuses. How many knows that? Amen. So after the day, it's going to be a little harder for people to use that as an excuse. Amen. If you work out your own salvation, you're going to get right into what Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, wrote and see what he says. And it's going to be brought all the way up to this time when Christ is marrying His church, His bride, His wife, and taking her into the marriage chamber. Praise God. So let's pray before actually reading the Word. Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank You for this another opportunity, Lord, just to come and stand here before your people with your word open and to speak of the good things of God. And Lord, as you put this little thought on our heart, Lord, we didn't study it extensively in the sense of writing scripture down or anything of that nature, Lord, because I feel you just want us to bring it, lay it out here for the church to see, your wife to see, and know how it fit in the Word, that she can take all the Word of God and use it for your glory. And I pray, God, that you'll anoint me to be able to say things, Lord, that will be inspired, be up to date, and be profitable to your people. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'm going to read my scripture now in the book of Philippians. And I want to get the 12th verse because this is where this very popular verse is located. Philippians 2:12. So as we read that, I want you to notice the reading of it. And while you're turning to it, I want to refer back to Galatians chapter 1 that we spoke on just very recently, only a few weeks back, where Paul said, if anybody preaches any other gospel than this that you've received, and he said, if I myself or even an angel come down from heaven and say anything different, said, let it be accursed. If anybody speak something that would contradict, be contrary, or be in denial of what Paul laid down as a plan of salvation, he said, let it be accursed. If anybody preach any other gospel. And then Paul said, these things I say unto you, receive, and the grace of God be upon you. So we're believing for the great grace of God, and we believe there is a plan of salvation, and we believe there's not two plans. Amen. And as Paul said, that we'll have one mind and one mouth, and he said, let the mind be in you which were also in Christ Jesus. And he said, I would that you all speak the same thing and be perfectly united together. Amen. And it says, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. So there's one gospel for the Gentile. And so when we look at it from that standpoint, then this scripture, it fits in a different category. We're going to get that as we go along. But first, let me read it to you. Philippians 2:12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed. In other words, there's no kicking against the prick here. Now, you've always obeyed what I said. Not in my presence only, but much more in my absence. And then he makes a statement that's the favorite of so many hundreds of thousands of people. He makes this statement. He says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen. But now, as we look at this, there's more to that scripture than the latter part where it says work out your own salvation, fear and trembling. Now, to work out this salvation within you, that's your personal leadership before God, doing what God would have you to do, and it's not necessarily believing just anything that you happen to feel that you want to believe. Amen. But then the bride, the wife, has the mind of Christ, so she believes just what Christ is doing. Now, in Revelation chapter 10, as we've read oftentimes here, and we'll continue because it's what is food for the wife, where he gives a little book, and we all eat the little book, and we all prophesy. Amen. And we've reached the fullness of the stature of Christ. Then we're not wanting an excuse to find a way around something that the Lord put in His Word, but we gladly embrace it. Hallelujah. And the very first part of that verse, Paul said, "My beloved, you've always obeyed." Amen. So this year's scripture is so wonderful. Amen. That it's been told to me, well, you know, the Bible says, work out your own salvation. Well, that's what we're doing, and we're doing it by accepting, not by works. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's harder to do than most people would think, is to accept that it's already done. And just like our healing and many other things that's laying in God's Word, amen, the Bible says, by His stripes you're healed, and there's nothing more you can work out on that. The only thing you do is believe and accept as God give you the inspiration to bring it to pass in your life, say. Amen. God's bringing Scripture together in the life of the people. Amen. He's quickening it to them. And there's never a time when the true Word of God for the wife is in such conflict with your thoughts that you have to resort to the Scripture of saying, well, preacher, you believe what you want to. God told me to work out my own salvation. Amen. Well, first of all, he weren't even dealing in the doctrinal realm at all. Amen. We are individuals before God, and I can't live your life for you. You can't live my life for me, but we all let Christ live in us, don't we? Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. Amen. And we're baptized into one body, and that one body only has one mind. Hallelujah. That one body only have one message. That's the wife, see. Amen. So, that's put there for a purpose in that way. The wife of Christ will get the true meaning of it and know that as she walks with God, the belief pattern, what we believe, is exactly the same thing. That cannot be any different. And God will never tell you it's all right for you to believe this, but it's let these other folks believe this way, and we're all the bride. The Word don't work that way, does it? Then the Bible says that a double-minded person's unstable in all his ways. Amen. So Christ is not double-minded. Christ does not tell one member of his wife, you believe this, but it's not necessary for anybody else to believe it. Amen. Now, your personal leadership, well, if he wants you to go somewhere, wants you to be a witness to someone, wants you to do that, then the preacher has nothing to do with that or anyone else. See? Amen. That's you and the Lord. Hallelujah. There's where you begin to work out your own salvation. Amen. It's getting God's leadership for you personally. Amen. Because He's taking care of the bride, leading her by a message. Amen. And there's not one jot nor tittle, as Jesus used the words, different in the belief of the bride. Amen. Of the wife that has become the wife of Christ. Because she, all the members believe the same because she's got his mind. Just this morning before service, Barbara was standing at the window thinking about something, and I walked up and I said, just like she in her mind what she's thinking, I walked up and said exactly what she was thinking. Hallelujah. Amen. She said, "Why, that's the most amazing thing I've ever seen." Well, it don't happen all the time. Amen. But from time to time it does. But the point being here, we all are baptized into one body by one Spirit. And the very message, amen, it inducts us into the fellowship, see? Hallelujah. Now, if you want to be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, using those titles, you can't come to me and use the scripture. God told us to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. So I'm baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and that's the way I'm working mine at. No, you're not working out salvation. Amen. You're making an excuse for not believing the Word of God. Amen. You can be an individual with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You're bringing your mind in captivity. You're watching the Scripture. You're laboring and you're being taught. Amen. And then the Holy Ghost brings you to a point, to a message. Amen. That the Lord has for His wife. And in accepting that message, then you're baptized into the Spirit of God, which is baptized into a fellowship. Hallelujah. And in this fellowship, there's only one mind. Amen. There's one mouth. Hallelujah. As God leads His wife. Hallelujah. And as we go along, the mind of the wife and the mind of Christ becomes so blended together that she thinks His thoughts, see? Hallelujah. She don't think other thoughts, she thinks His thoughts. And she thinks on the things that's important for her. Hallelujah, because she knows there's a new day that have begun for her, and it's in the realm of being the wife of Christ. Hallelujah. And the Word of God teaches about the Son of Righteousness arise in our heart. We've come through the Eden and Light process, the seven church ages process, and we've come through the silence in heaven process. Hallelujah, at the opening of the seventh seal, and the message that God sent through Brother Jackson, that He has cleared up what's going to happen to Israel and so on. Amen, we've come through all of that. Now, we've come into a new day where the voice speaks from heaven. Amen. Revelation 10:8, John said, the voice spake again from heaven. Amen. Said, go take the little book. Now, this little book that he says go take, it is something that have not been obtained by the church in any age, see? Amen. And the reason I can say that with complete assurance and surety is this. That little book was reserved in heaven. And it was sealed with seven seals. And there was nobody in the earth, under the earth, or anywhere that was worthy to go take the book and to open the seals. They weren't even worthy to look at it. Hallelujah. And John began to weep. Amen. I think about the message we preached in Zimbabwe over there. And we're John, stop weeping. Amen. Weep no more for the wife of Christ. Amen. The Bible says that one of the elders said unto John, weep not. Our weeping are over, we know now. Hallelujah. The little book's ours. Well, the Lamb takes it and breaks all seals and brings it down to earth. And He holds it in His hand. Hallelujah. Amen. Till He reveals certain things that had to be revealed before giving it to the bride completely. Amen. It's referred to as a silence in heaven. When the seventh seals opened, there was a silence in heaven. There was a tearing of giving the little book to the wife of Christ until, amen, that she was taught a certain thing. The seventh church age message was completely over, and the apostle that actually was in the Laodicean church age. Amen. Brother Brown was the apostolic or the prophet messenger. Amen. And there's just one of those messengers. One message for the age. Amen. But here come the office of Brother Jackson that God gave him. Amen. As being apostle. And he cleared up those things to completely bring us to a point. Amen. Where we could receive and now eat the little book. Amen. Now, a lot of people, they get so frustrated at the way God does things, and it's because they're not willing to wait on God, not willing to look at what God's doing, not willing to walk with God. Amen. Because that great apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, Brother Raymond Jackson, he says the seven seals not open. The little book's not here. And all those things. And yet God used him in such a way that is astounding to open up many other parts of that word. Hallelujah. But God done know, the Lord himself descended heaven with a shout. A message went forth under the message of the seventh church age messenger. The voice of the archangel continued right on through the apostolic ministry of Raymond Jackson. Amen. But then there was another phase, the trump of God, when the little book would be given. And it was only one thing Brother Jackson could say, because he had to stand in the door and hold back till the little silent spirit was over, until God get ready to actually marry his wife and take her in. Hallelujah. So he began to say, it's not open, the mighty angel hadn't cried, and these things are yet to take place. And he said, I think the seven thunder will be seven men come. Well, the point is, the seven men has already come. They've already gone. They've already delivered their message. The seven thunders already sounded. Amen. In fact, as they sounded, John saw them back in his day, and it would say, John was about to ride them. And the angel, the voice from heaven spake and said, seal them up. Amen. It's not time. We got to go through seven church ages. Amen. He didn't tell them that part. But seal them up. Amen. Says, in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, this mystery, singular, will be finished. Now, work out your own salvation. See what I'm getting at here? Amen. A lot of people, they stopped in their track. How could God have a great apostle here and actually not see these great truths? Well, God has his time ailment. Amen. He was still courting his wife, clearing some things up in her mind. Because when she go in, amen, she goes into the marriage chamber and they become one. Hallelujah. And so the Bible says in there, marriage is honorable all, and the bed undefiled. Amen. Out here the bed get defiled, see? Amen. And defilement is different thoughts, different ideas, different opinion, and different spirits. Amen. But now God takes her in and gives her one mind, one mouth, and feeds her from the little book, see? Praise God. We're in a move of God now that you've never seen nothing like it in your life. Amen. It reached back with all respect to these men that have come before us. And it reached back and it showed why God let this one come this far but no further, see. Because the time element had to come on when he started restoring this truth back. Amen. To the church. He started with Martin Luther. The just shall live by faith. And then later on, he came through another messenger, John Wesley. He began to preach, you got to be sanctified. And then later on, he began to give the baptism of the Holy Ghost to individuals to teach them and lead them and guide them. Hallelujah. Amen. And bringing on up the Word of God. And each time it stops short, see. It stops short. Amen. But there's coming a time when the children of Israel, they went over Jordan. Hallelujah. Not only over Jordan, on into paradise. Hallelujah. That's what we do spiritually. Praise God. So you see, we can say, God told me to work out my own salvation. I don't believe the trumpets, the thunder sounded yet. Well, the point is here, if we get on that part, if they haven't sounded yet, then they haven't been sealed. Then we may have a long period of time ahead of us from that standpoint. Amen. Because somewhere or another they got to be open if they haven't sounded. Amen. Because when they sound, they're sealed. Amen. So I know that the seals, the thunder were open. Amen. I know them seven angels came to Brother Branham in 63. Amen. They uttered right through that church age messenger the six that have been with the messengers, that was four. And the seventh one, when they came to him, he said, that seventh one flew right straight to me, the thing I've looked for all my life. Amen. Hallelujah. So I know many people got differences. And Barbara's standing right there with us when we were at the library in Zimbabwe. It's a big compound, the library for the Voice of God recording. And I don't know how many dollars it'd be worth, but it's several buildings, big compound. I think they got about 10 or 12 full-time workers there and all. It's such a big, monstrous thing, and the books and tapes and all that's going out. And that's all right. Praise God. That's good. Amen. But the point I want to make, the one that was in charge of it there, he says, here's what we did. He was explaining to me what they did. Because I was a visitor to the country. He said all the ministers got together. How many was it? About 400 of them? 400 of us ministers got together. And he said unto me, we all believe in Brother Branham. And says, I know that other people, that among the 400 he spoke with them, said, I know you believe different things about different subjects. And says, that's fine. But we're not coming together on that, he said. We're coming together on the fact that we all believe Brother Branham was the Seventh Church Age Messenger, the messenger to the Lady Ocean Church. We believe that he was a prophet. Now, a lot of these other things, we're not going to deal with those. Well, I'll tell you, that's a big excuse. Amen. If you get the mind of Christ, you're all going to believe the same thing. How many believe it? Because Christ's mind is not going 400 different ways. Amen. Is that right? So here's the scripture. Well, you know, like the Bible says, work out your own salvation. We all believe in Brother Brown, but work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. No, he's got a wife that's going to believe the same thing. Hallelujah. He's got a wife that is believing the same thing. And as he takes her into the marriage chamber, amen, those that have heard the message up to a point, they are left out as foolish virgins. Hallelujah. But the wife goes in, and in the marriage chamber, they become one, the bed's undefiled. Now, that's typed out in the book of Acts with the brethren, amen, with them, even when they came together. In the early Pentecostal days, in the book of Acts, I believe about the fifth chapter of the book of Acts, where the church was in the Jewish realm, the brethren, and some came in, namely Ananias and Sapphira. Amen. And they had got some type of revelation. I don't know exactly how they came around to it, because the Bible don't tell them, do they? But everybody said, let's say all sell our home. And especially, I think probably there that it was, if you got an extra home or some extra land or whatever, let's sell everything and bring the money and lay at the apostles' feet. Well, they agreed to do that. I'm not sure the Lord was in that sense of telling them to do it. But here come a couple that probably owned a nice estate, you know. It was so far out what they said they got for it that Peter was shocked. Because they brought the money to lay at Peter's feet, Ananias and Sapphira did, and Peter knew they had a huge estate. And they brought a little small amount of money and said to Peter, here's our money. We have we've sold the place, and here I'm going to bring it like everybody else. I'm going to lay it at your feet. Peter looked at it, and he said, did you sell that estate for so much or that much? Well, if you did, you really got burnt, we would say. Amen. They said, yes, that's what we sold it for. Well, all of a sudden, something struck Peter's heart. He said, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? He said, the land was yours, and no one told you to sell it. You did this by your own free will. And said, once you sold it, no one asked you for a penny. It was your money. But because you wanted to come in and defile the fellowship of the brotherhood, amen, said you come in and you're lying to the Holy Ghost, saying that you sold it for this much. And the Bible says he gave up the ghost and the fell dead, and the brethren took him out and buried him. Well, his wife Ananias, I don't know what type of makeup they put on in that time period or how much they fixed up, but and the Bible don't say this, but I like to think it took Sapphire 3 hours to get fancied up like she wanted to, you know. And that's just dramatizing it. Well, she came in and marched right up there, you know, whenever I was on her, probably. She said to the Apostle Peter, "Peter, we've sold our place. You know, the big place over on the hill with all the acreages and the large house. And we sold it and we want to give the money here." And Peter looked at him and said, did you sell the land for that much? Because Ananias done been in there. She said, "Oh, yes. Yes, that's what we got for it. We want to give it all to God." That's the kind of people we are. We don't want to keep a thing back for ourselves. We want to give it to God. Amen. See, God wouldn't let a lie stay, and it would defile the household. Amen. So Peter spoke the word. He said, "The young men, you see them young men at the door, said they just finished burying your husband because he come in and told the same lie. Said y'all planned this thing out and schemed it. You thought you'd pull the wool over the eyes of the Holy Ghost in this group and nobody would know the difference, and you wanted to be a big shot, come in and sit among us, that you sold all that mighty estate and give the money to the church." Amen. Peter said, "Why have thou allowed the devil to fill thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" Said, "You haven't lied to man." Said, "You've lied to God." And said, "The men back there that took and buried your husband, they're going to take you out and bury you too." And the Bible says she fell down and gave up the ghost. I tell you, this is some serious business, isn't it? And the same thing now with the bride. Christ is marrying his bride. Amen. That she'll become the full-pledged wife of Christ. And Revelation 19 and 7 and 8 there, it talks about this rapture that's to take place. What God's going to do. Amen. It calls it the Lamb's wife. That means you can't debate. Amen. You can't say, "Well, you know, a bride, it could be just before marriage or something, or just after or something." You know, you could debate, but he used the word wife, and that word wife is undebatable. Hallelujah. Amen. We've been coming through the marriage ceremony. There's two parts of a marriage I brought in sometime back, and it really helped the people all around the world. How that a marriage, you got your ceremonial part. You come, and most of the time they have wine or punch, depending on if they're religious in that sense or whatever, you know. And, of course, I wouldn't mind having a glass of wine myself if it's good wine, but not to get all tipsy, we would say. But the point is, amen, everybody's invited to the ceremonial part of the wedding. Amen. Everybody's invited to sit around and talk and eat and fellowship and have a good time. Well, that's what we've been coming through, the ceremonial part of the wedding. Amen. But then, when it's all said and done, the bride and the bridegroom, they crawl in that big limousine that's sitting there waiting. Amen. I'm just saying that a lot of times most of us don't have a limousine, didn't have a limousine sitting. But that's just to bring it in that realm. Amen. They go away together, and all those other people go their own way, and they can think their own thoughts, and they can, they're good people. They've come to the wedding ceremony. They're part of it, but the Bible identifies a group as foolish virgin and a group as his wife. Amen. Paul identified his wife in Ephesians chapter 5. Says she has become bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. Amen. By one spirit we're joined to the Lord. 1 Corinthians 7 or 6 and 18, 17, 18. Amen. And then in Ephesians 4 it says she reached the place where she's called the man Christ Jesus. In other words, she's baptized into him. They got one mind, amen, like Adam and Eve, where they call their name Adam. Amen. Because she was in him back then, and now she's back with him again. Hallelujah. Praise God, you were with him before the foundation of the world, and these things that we preach and teach you, it was born in you. Amen. And you can't believe anything else but that. Hallelujah. It's not something that it sounds like foreign language. Who was Barbara said, does it sound like foreign language to me? Amen. Well, it does. Amen. And it's supposed to. It's meant to be that way. Hallelujah. It's meant that you can say he told us to work out our own salvation, fear and trembling. It's meant to be there. It's put there so that if you ain't part of him and know what Paul said, you're going to take it and go another way. But Paul said that you've obeyed. Amen. These things I've said. Praise God. And there's other scriptures that goes along with this. This very same thing that he's talking about here. He's talking about the calling of the things of God. Amen. And what it means. What it means to have the things of God. And I'll just skip down. Let's go to Philippians chapter 4. I was going to read more, but I think I'll maybe just get down to that rather than read too much here. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Hallelujah. It reads like this. Finally, brethren. Now you get to a certain place where it's finally, brethren. You've arrived. Whatsoever things is true, are true. Whatsoever things are honest, that's the only way the bride is. Whatsoever things are just, and that's the only thing the bride do. Why? Whatsoever things are pure, and he said the marriage chain was pure and undefiled. See? Amen. Whatsoever things are pure, and he goes right on reading here, whatsoever things is lovely, amen. Have you found something lovely in him? Amen. Was it Solomon says they're altogether lovely? Amen. That's his wife. Then he says, whatsoever things are of a good report, and said, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he said, think on these things. Now he's telling us how to think. He said, I'll think about what I want to. Well, not when it comes to the Word, the revelation of God's Word and the plan of God. It's one plan. And he said, pray that the plan be done in earth as it was in heaven. Amen. The will is a plan. Amen. If you write a will out, you're writing the plans. What you plan, see? Amen. Amen. So, let's read on here. Amen. He said, those things which you have both heard. Oh, now wait a minute, Paul. Don't read that one to us. Don't say that. Don't write that to us. You done said that we can choose our own way and work out our own salvation and think what we wanted to and do and work out our own salvation, you know. Don't come back with something else. No, he ain't coming back with something else, but watch verse 9 here. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, he says, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Hallelujah. Do you see, whatsoever things you've learned, whatsoever things you've heard, and all these things, amen, not only do you say think on them, and whatsoever things you've seen in me, Paul stood there, amen, as Christ impersonalized, let's see, how would I say that? I don't know, I better not try to use a word, because if I use it wrong, somebody say, he accused me of saying Paul was Jesus, but he wasn't. But he incarnated himself in Paul to the point that Paul said, in my body is made up of the remainder of the affliction of Christ and so on. And that is Colossians. I may read that to you. But I want to get this before I move on here. Amen. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard. Now, can I think what I want to work out my own? Yes, you work out your own salvation as God leads you, speaks to you, give you dreams and deal with your heart and quicken certain scriptures to you. Amen. But I'll promise you this, it'll not contradict. How many knows that? Somebody said, I know this is God preaching because I felt a tingling go all over my body. Said, ooh, I felt the tongues and felt the Spirit and all this. I know it be God. And go directly contrary. Somebody said, I know that I can believe in water baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost because I prayed for this man and God healed him. Amen. Well, he had faith in the Word. Amen. How many knows it? By His stripes you're healed. Glory to God. If God quickened that to you, receive it. Whether anybody speaks it to you, whether anybody prays, it may just be you and the Lord, see. Amen. If He tells you, quicken that scripture, He's already told you, but if He quickened it, make it live to you. By His stripes, you're healed. You don't have to come and say, Brother Howard, the Lord told me that by His stripes I was healed. You think I'm healed, or you think I'm going wrong to think this? No, work out your own salvation. He's already said it. And I've had people come to me, and I appreciate the confidence and the concern, but I've had people come to me and say, you know, what you preached the other day, the Lord just quickened that to me. I was thinking on that very same scripture, and says, do you think it was the Lord? The Lord, you have to preach it first. Nonsense. Amen. It's nonsense because if you're His wife, the preacher, part of the body, the whole body is the wife. See, how many knows it? And the preacher's in the body. Amen. That one man, it ain't going to contradict the preacher, and the preacher going to praise God that God's speaking to every member of the body. God will quicken it to me. Amen. And I'll know that God's been talking to His wife. Amen. Amen. These things you've learned, these things you've heard, these things you've seen in me. He said, do. And then He said, if you'll do these things, the God of peace shall be with you. Not if you say, now, Paul, wait just a minute here. Wait just one minute. God's with me, and you say a lot of things I don't agree with. Well, there's something wrong with that picture. Amen. But now let me show you how it can work. When Peter went up to Jerusalem, and don't miss this part. We've been over before, but how it fits here. When Paul went up to Jerusalem, when Paul went up to Jerusalem to a conference, it's recorded in Galatians chapter 2, very plainly. They that were in conference, Paul sat and listened. He said, when I got through listening, they added nothing to me. He said, but contrary wise, when they saw that the gospel of the circumcised and the gospel of the Gentile was committed to me, as well as the gospel, it was the gospel of the uncircumcised and committed unto Paul, as well as the gospel of the circumcised, which was used to Peter, when they saw it. See, Paul enlightened them. They added nothing to him but contrary wise. They gave Paul and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship and said, you go preach to the heathen and we'll preach to the circumcision. See? Now, in that sense, there can be a difference in the mind of what they think. Amen. And they can work out their own salvation because Paul had a certain thing to do. God said, Paul, I'm going to send you to a faraway place to preach the gospel, and said, they will hear it. Amen. But the Jews, they read Acts 21. And I don't want to get, if I get this too deep here, you know, we just not going to finish up here. When Paul went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and the other brethren, James was a pastor of the church there. And when James and the brethren saw him, they called Paul aside. And they listened to what God has done through Paul and they praised God for it. Acts 21, if you care to read it. But then James said unto Paul, thou seest, brother, how that there's many thousands of Jews that believe, and said they are all very zealous of the law. Amen. Well, Paul said, if you keep the law, you're falling great. If you keep the law in order to try to be saved, if you're circumcised, now, I'm not talking about circumcision like in the medical field or something like that. That would be for another. But if you get circumcised, like some of the Jewish people, and Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong used to be on the radio and TV and the different thing. His son's still minister. I haven't heard from him lately. I don't know if he's already gone or what. But the point being is that he says they might want to circumcise your child when it's born or the first day or before you take it home and so on like that. And says, according to the law, it's supposed to be 8 days. Well, yes, according to the law, yes, but we're not under the law. And Paul said if you be circumcised from that standpoint to help your salvation, he said you're falling from grace. How many knows that? He said, circumcision and uncircumcision is nothing. Amen, but a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So, I work out my own salvation, preacher. You know? I believe it this way, and you believe it this way, and this one believe it that way. Amen. And that one believe it this way. But, you know, this lady told Barbara this was a few weeks back. Says, you know, as the Bible says, we work out our own salvation. You work yours out, I'll work mine out. Amen. You believe what you want to, I'll believe what I want to. And we'll all wind up at the same place. No, you're not. How many knows it? No, you're not. Amen. Because Paul laid something down. These things you've heard of me. Amen. These things you've seen. These things you've heard. Amen. Say, if you'll do them, the peace of God will be with you. And he said, if an angel come from heaven and say something different, he said, let him be accursed. If any preacher preach anything different, let him be accursed. Amen. He said, if I even preached it different, amen, be the same for me, he said. Amen. Amen. There's something in Colossians here I just kind of quoted there just a bit. I would like to get it because, you know, when the message goes out to other areas and other places, you have to be a bit more careful of how you say things. When I said that Christ was incarnated in Paul to the extent, and that word to the extent has a meaning there. It don't mean he was Christ or anything, but he was so loud. He was wrapped up in Christ. He says he's dead and his life was hid with Christ in God, you know. Hey, man, he was just, that Christ was his very own life, see. That's why he could say here in Colossians chapter 1, that's what I want you to read here with me. It'll be verse 24. Verse 23 says he's made a minister of this. But he says, now, who now rejoice in my suffering for you? How many say that? How many say, for you, my suffering for you? Amen. What in the world are you talking about, Paul? Didn't Christ suffer for us? Yes, but Christ didn't come to the Gentile. Christ died for all, whether you Jew, Gentile, black, white, or anyone. He died for the sins of the world. Hallelujah. Everyone that was ever called Christ died for him. Hallelujah. But when he went to Jews, amen, he commanded his apostles not to go to the Gentiles, and he didn't even go to them. Amen. Remember the lady that was a Gentile brought a child to him, said, my child's grievously ill or anything. Jesus said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and give the dog. Said, salvation to the Jew. That was that covenant, only to Israel at the time, see. Amen. She says, I know, but the dogs love the crumbs that fall from the table. He said, get out of here. Your child be made whole. He didn't say, get out of here in that sense. Just said that to put emphasis. He said, go thy way. Amen. He made a way, didn't he? Amen. His mercy overrode because he knew that somewhere out here the gospel was going to go to the Gentile, because it's prophesied in the Old Testament that in him would the Gentiles trust and that he would be a light to us. Amen. Is that right? But Romans 15 and 8 says Jesus was the minister to the Jews. That's the only one he went to. That's the only one he preached to. But he died for all, see. But he was going to come and go to the Gentile, but in a different way. He was coming in the Spirit, see. And he had a vessel here, a man named Paul, and through him he came down. All five offices came with him. Amen. And Paul was apostle, preacher, and all this. And then as he went forth, other ministers caught on and saw it. Amen. Now we're in the second stage of that, the final stage. All right. Paul said here, verse 24, who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind of the affliction of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, where I'm made a minister. And then he goes on that. But I just want to get that scripture so that you will. And he said, we're an ambassador of Christ. We're an ambassador of Christ. Amen. To show you that. Amen. So he's got a bride. He's got a Gentile bride. And when God struck Paul down, he said, I'll make you a light to the Gentile, delivering them from the power of Satan to the power of God. Hallelujah. In other words, yank them out of the hand of Satan and put them in the kingdom of God. Amen. And verse 13 of this chapter of Colossians here, talking about what Christ did for us, says, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us, we've been translated, into the kingdom of his dear Son. Amen. And then the next verse said, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin. Amen. You see that now? Praise God. It's for Jew, Gentile, and all. The spilling of the blood at Calvary. He bought it and paid for it. It's his. He bought and paid for it. But he had some brethren and he had a wife. Amen. That's what happened when the Ananias and Sapphira came into the where the brethren was at. That part, amen, that was Jewish. All told, it was Jewish. Amen, God wouldn't let the household be defiled. And even less will he let the bed of his son be defiled when she, as his wife, comes in with him. Amen, you can't say, Lord, send these other people out. I want them too. God said, I'm not going to send another woman in the bedroom with my son. He's got a wife. He said, does, that'll defile the bed, and this bed can't be defiled. Can you say amen? And so they went on their way after the marriage ceremony was over. Then his wife went into the marriage chamber for the consummation of the marriage, and she became one, and it was honorable all in all, and the bed was undefiled. Hallelujah, you're in an undefiled place, and God's going to keep it that way. Hallelujah. God bless you today. Amen. Do you see this? I'm going to work out my own salvation, preacher. Leave me alone. Well, you do that, but you got to do it according to the rule. These things you've heard me say, do. Amen. And the things you've heard, obey. And he says, and the God of peace shall be with you. Otherwise, you're on your own, see. Amen. Amen. So if somebody come to you, if you feel testified to somebody, and less, I'll have to be honest. Less and less I feel, I don't feel as much. I used to go in parking lots sometime at a mall or something, give out tracts and try to give testimonies and so forth. A lot of them just throw it out and get away. And nowadays they got so they'll get upset with you. Tell them they don't want your trash or something. Amen. So more and more I don't feel impressed to do that anymore. Amen. How many knows it? Here's why he's taking his bride into the bride chamber, his wife, and he don't want me to bring a lot of other women in there too, see. He said the bed's not going to be defiled. That's why he keeps the fellowship clean. Amen. And he'll do it in spite of what we want to do. Amen. Sometimes we might say this person is a good person and I'd like for this person to get this or do that or something. Well, God knows the predestination of it. Amen. God knows what kind of heart, mind, spirit they have. Have you been baptized into the body? Do you have the one mind? Do you have the one mouth? Amen. Then work out your own salvation if you got that. And that's, should I do this or should I do that? Or Lord, you just lead me and you guide me, Lord. And I know you're with me. And Lord, is there a certain place you want me reading the Word or a tape you want me to listen to or something? In other words, it's your personal leadership within the body. But it don't mean you can have another doctrine or teaching or belief, but it means that you're precious before God and you can have personal communion with God and He can lead you and He can guide you. Amen. He can give you dreams, vision, but they'll always bring you to the Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. If you get a vision that's contrary to the Word, then the Lord didn't give it. Unless the Lord has another purpose for it, somewhere or another. If you're His, though, it won't be contrary. God bless you this morning. Amen. I appreciate you. Love you. Amen. And let's pray one for another. Come together on the Word. Amen. And realize we're one. We're His wife. Hallelujah. And the bed's not defiled. Hallelujah. And we have worked at our own salvation, and that was by believing and coming into the truth that God's doing for this hour. Amen. Not like one man, one song says, you go to your church and I'll go to mine, but we'll walk along side by side. You've heard the old song. Amen. But the Bible says, how can two walk together unless they be in agreement? Amen. If they belong to that, if they belong to that and go to that, then it's obvious. And I know this is a little hard to say. It's obvious that they're not part of this. You see what I mean? Because you can't be part of two things at once. You can't have a double-minded. You can't be double-minded. Amen. You can't. I do a lot of things. I'm with you on like that, you know. Well, if you're with me, you're with the Word. That's all you got to do to be with. A preacher asked me up here, Dawsonville. He said, preacher, how do you go about joining your church? Do you baptize them into the church? Or what's the formula to get into your church? To become part of it? Well, I tell you, be baptized in the body of Christ. And you can only do that as you come into the fullness of the Word. And there's one mind and one mouth and one spirit. Hallelujah. And there's no such thing as joining. He joins you to Himself. Amen. He that is joined to the Lord. You can't join this building. This building is of no value whatsoever. It has no eternal value other than the place we come in out of the weather and the rain, and we come here to worship God. God bless you. I could go a long time on this one, but I hope you see and know how to deal when they say, well, the Bible says work out your own salvation. The title of this message is Paul's Guideline for Working Out Your Salvation with Fear and Trembling. Amen. So, God bless you today. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you, Lord, that you've been with us this morning. You blessed us. And Lord, that you've helped us to minister your word. And Lord, you said you would send it forth. And Lord, you said it would accomplish that you please. And Lord, you said it would prosper where you send. Oh Lord, it's in your hands now. I pray that you'll touch the hearts and lives of each one to hear. And let each one know that there is a message. There is a body that we're baptized into. There is a marriage bed. And it's undefiled. Oh God, help us to just be part of what you're doing in this hour. And Lord, I know you'll grant it. Bless each one now that come this way and those that will hear this. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.